Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, August 22nd, 2022. We are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There is a Solution on page 23, the second paragraph, beginning with Once in a While, He May Tell the Truth, and reading through But They Often Suspect They Are Down for the Count. Today's readers are Renee A. in the 12 Steps, Joni C. in the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Craig F. in the text, Marge O. on page 164. Our newcomer greeter is Chrissy O. and our second hour moderator is Roz G. The share ID for Sunday, August 21st, 2022 is 19,316. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from a compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Overeaters Anonymous is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Renee A. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Renee A., recovered compulsive overeater in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Renee. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni C. from Minnesota, gratefully recovered but not cured. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Joni. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I'll give you a gentle reminder. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter There Is a Solution. On page 23, the second paragraph, beginning with, once in a while, he may tell the truth, and reading through, but they often suspect they are down to the count. I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading.
Okay, thanks, Rick, for your service. This is Craig F., recovered in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, is that usually he has no more idea why he took the first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game, but they often suspect they are down for the count. You know, telling the truth. The truth that this paragraph's talking about is the truth that I don't have any idea why I took the first bite. I have no idea why I was unable to maintain anything like continued abstinence on my own. I thought for a while that I had figured out why I ate. But it didn't solve me. But the truth was that I was desperate for a reason. I was desperate to know why, because I thought knowing why might fix me, and I was desperate because I didn't understand, and I still don't understand. I don't need to understand the invitation to you. My favorite line in that invitation to you says that we've come to believe that the causes of this disease are not important, that what deserves the attention of the still suffering compulsive overeater is this: there's a proven and workable method by which you might arrest this illness. And that proven and workable method, of course, is the steps and the program of recovery. And this whole paragraph is about this madness, this powerlessness that we all have to go through. And the odd thing is, it's once we can accept this powerlessness, once we can accept the fact that we're powerless, then we can begin to reach out for one who has all power. It says, may you find him now. But until I've researched that thoroughly, until I have been a baffled lot for a while, and until I've given up the idea that I'm going to beat the game on my own, I don't have a chance of recovery. I'm still trying to control it. I'm still thinking that I'm going to get control someday. When I'm in that frame of mind, I can't surrender. And if I can't surrender, I can't accept. And if I can't live in surrender and acceptance, I can't live in the spiritual way of life that this program calls for. And I suspected I was down for the count. Then I knew I was down for the count. And once I knew I was down for the count, then I was able to take the hand of somebody that could lead me to a power greater than myself that could help me. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for getting us started, Craig. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Please give me your first name only and the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Christina J.
Katie G. from Boston.
Tanya D.
Okay, hold on a second. I got Christina J. I got Katie G. There was somebody else right in there. Was it Tanya?
Tanya D.
Page number.
Okay, Amber. Okay, so let's keep going.
Betty N.
Okay, Betty.
Lisa N.
Lisa, page M number? Is Mike, the least, N is in Nancy. Okay.
Colleen M.
Colleen M. All right. It's a good place for us to stop. This is who I've got right now. And sorry if I missed you. We'll get you in the next lineup. We have Christina J., Katie G., Tanya D., Betty N., Lisa N., and Colleen M. And when you introduce yourselves, please give me the first initial of your last name and the state you're from. Go ahead, Christina, you're up, followed by Katie G. Go ahead.
Morning, Rick, everyone. Christina J. from the state of North Carolina. And, I just want to take a breath and not get myself all riled up here. I get so nervous every time I share. But, you know, like Craig was saying, it doesn't matter why. I mean, I looked for years for why, and I thought I found answers, and I chased those answers to the death of those answers because those answers never worked. I mean, I spent years. I didn't start really realizing what this all was about here in this big book until I was 60, and now I'm 63, and I got a couple years of recovery, and I don't want to lose it. And I am not one that knows how to handle a buildup of human emotions. I mean, this book gives me that toolkit, how to handle those buildup of human emotions. That's one part of the equation. The other part is I've got a deep, dark allergy to my substances. And I use those substances for comfort all my life since I was a kid. I didn't know why they worked, but they worked. Screaming for Kool-Aid when I was a little kid because there was so much chaos around me. I discovered this sweet drink. Probably, I don't remember, but it gave me a bit of comfort. You know, why would a kid scream for more and more? I have pictures of myself, you know, standing in corners with stuffed animals, no smile, peering out. You know, it was a scary time for a little girl. I don't have to live in that today. I'm an adult, but I still got that little girl inside, and she still gets very, very upset when things come her way. Friday morning, I did a heavy-duty 10th step with a fellow, And I just wanted to bawl my eyes out because that little girl was triggered. The pain from the past was triggered. I got a 10th step. I don't have to go and eat over it. She wanted to go and eat. The adult in me didn't want to go and eat. So anyway, basically, I don't know why anymore, but I know that I got a program, and all the whys don't matter. Like everybody has said, I got a program that works. And if I walk it, if I work it, I got a chance to live, really live, not just on the surface, but this program takes you deeper and deeper into a beautiful soul life with yourself. You can love yourself, get over all the stuff that drives you insane, which comes up daily for me, and then move on to help others. So I hope I help someone with that share. And if you're out there and you're struggling, I can tell you, just get on this train and keep going. Don't let go no matter what happens. You'll find recovery. I mean, it took me relapse after relapse, but I finally found it, and I don't want to let go of it. So I work this program. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much for Christine. Jay, Katie G, you're up next, followed by Tanya D. Go ahead, Katie.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Katie G from Boston. Anorexic compulsive eater. You know, I never could tell the truth because I was so defended and I felt like a fraud because I was a fraud because on the outside, I was this person trying to be accepted. I was trying to be loved. I was trying to be thin enough and good enough. And I couldn't tell you why I would start exercising and I would do like 30 minutes. And then the next thing I knew, I'd be like face down like 2 hours. And then I didn't know I was a distinct entity. And I didn't, but I knew like I was a fraud. And so I would like tell sort of the truth. Like I would commit my exercise, but like, and, or I'd say, oh, I'm overdoing it, right? Like I'd be vague so I could quote unquote get away with it. But in my heart, like I knew I was a fraud. And I love like this obsession, this idea or thought that intrudes my mind. Like how many obsessions have I had? How many lies have I had, right? Like if I'm the thinnest in the room, I'll be safe. If I had what you had, I wouldn't feel the way I feel. And then, you know, I keep trying to beat the game and I would reach out for help, right? Like I'd reach out to the dietitian and say, I can't do this today. I can't do this today. And it's like the disease was this like master inside of me that made me, that forced me, that took away power, choice, or control and mandated that I be dishonest. It mandated that I seek a sense of ease and comfort even when every ounce of my DNA didn't want to. I remember getting on the scale and literally feeling like, don't get on, don't get on, don't get on, and getting on, right? But the hope is today, the hope is today, that I get to be 100,000% honest. And I don't have to be controlled by this disease that wants me dead and will settle for me eating. Why? Because I am having a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience, and the power and love of God has entered into my mind and my heart, into my body, that allows me to be the truth, that cares more about pleasing God and pleasing man, that isn't here to prove anything. I'm just here to say, if you're suffering, if you're in pain, if you are done being done with everything in your life, you're awesome because there is a solution. Join us and read our book. We have a solution for you, and that one is God. Thanks, Rick. Take care.
Mama.
Thank you so much, Katie
Mama.
G. Tanya D. You're up next, followed by Betty. And go ahead, Tanya.
Hi, this is Tanya D., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. And, you know, this makes me think about what I thought about my disease before I learned about OA. And it never crossed my mind that I could be powerless over food. I thought I had a problem of willpower and, you know, I just needed the right diet. at one point, kind of close to where I found OA, I was participating in a scientific study, and somebody asked me if I have ever lost control over my food, or if I had ever had a binge. And of course, I lied about the binge. You know, I said something like I had, one binge in the past month. And to the question of if I ever felt out of control, I answered, I was out of control, but I allowed myself to lose control. And that's what I really believed, because I couldn't fathom that I couldn't control something as simple as food. So I answered basically, but I'm really in control, because that was me deciding to lose control. And the truth is, I have no, I had no power of choice over when I would pick up the food. But because I didn't know about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, I didn't know that. And, you know, my last attempt before kind of surrendering to this idea that I need to eliminate certain foods is, you know, I decided that I had deprived myself with all the diets. And kind of the solution was, you know, I did the experimentation suggested in the big book. The solution was to, like, just let my body have what it was asking for. And that horrified me, you know, and that's why I think the suggested experimentation in the big book is important, because it really showed me how the nature of my disease, because I had been kind of trying to keep it down the best I could. And of course, it was getting worse with time, you know, physically and mentally. And that's when I realized, like, no, I really am different. You know, I think kind of the reasons why I'm a compulsive overeater are unimportant, but I do need to be convinced that I am a compulsive overeater so that I don't keep trying, you know, solutions that might work for normal people, but that don't work for me. And, you know, I did, like, despite years of experience of trying, you know, the same thing over and over, it did take me kind of the explanation in the big book and the OA of what a compulsive reader is to realize, like, yes, like, I am one of these. I wouldn't have figured it out on my own. So I'm really grateful that, you know, this book exists and this program exists, because there is indeed a solution. Like, I don't have to keep picking up the food, but I have to accept this program of action and work.
That's a reminder.
So that I stay recovered. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tanya. Betty Ann, you're up next, followed by Lisa Ann. Go ahead, Betty.
Good morning. This is Betty Ann, the late, great Betty Ann. I say that because I apologize for not being on time to read the steps this morning. I love this reading, though, and it is really the crux of my problem, and I guess everyone is saying that, you know, that it is the truth is that I do not know why I do some of the things that I do, and it's not just in eating. I have a tendency to not allow my mind to quiet in the morning or any time, and I feel like I have to fill it constantly with thoughts or ideas or reading or watching media or, doing other things. And I feel that my excuses just aren't going to, I just need to stop that. And as it is right now, my mind is racing over trying to figure out what to say instead of trying to quiet it and allow everything to come. So I have no idea why I take that first bite when I do. I have no idea why I can't be truthful about it. And the truth is that doesn't matter, as has been said already. I have to live each day and not consider
how many days am I going to get to be abstinent this time before I have a relapse? I need to just concentrate on today. I hear that said often, and it doesn't seem to get through, so I'm hoping that maybe if I say it out loud to myself, that it will. And my goal today will be to try and quiet my mind and listen more than I talk. So with that, I think I will leave early and give some extra time to someone else. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Betty. And what state are you from again?
Florida. I'm from Florida.
Okay. Thank you so much, Betty. We appreciate you very much. Lisa Ann, you're up next, followed by Colleen M. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Rick, and thank you for moderating today. Good morning, everyone. I guess where I wanted to start is this whole thing made me think about the character defect I have of blaming, because nobody knew the truth. Like when I was young, my parents didn't know why I ate. My siblings didn't know. Nobody knew. So I started the blaming. I started trying to figure out at a very early age why I had this compulsive eating problem. And so internally, I would blame my mother because she was unstable. I would blame the kids at school because they were mean. I would blame it on the stress when I was in college of studying. I would blame it on holidays because they were so fun and they were only once a year. I would blame it on Friday because it was the end of the week and I was tired and they deserved a treat. I would blame, try to find reasons why I was eating, but I really didn't know. They were just excuses because I didn't know the truth. And I feel like now I have to be, that's one of the things I have to be very aware of, is that I don't blame circumstances or for any behavior I do. But I think that what I'm loving about this program is that I finally got to a place, and this is years ago, where I threw my hands up in the air because I just was down for the count, as it says in the book. I was down for the count, and I didn't realize that that was a really good thing. I thought that it was a bad thing, a weak thing, and it isn't. It's a blessing to be down for the count. It's a blessing to say, I can't do this, and to be humbled, because then there's this power that can come in and help you. So, you know, give up. And I heard somebody in a meeting say once, and I loved it, they take a hanky and they wave it up in the air, a white hanky. So I grab it. I have a tissue box here by me, and sometimes I pick it up, pick up a piece of tissue, and I wave it in the air, and I say, I surrender today. So, yeah, well, thank you so much for letting me share, and I'm grateful for all of you today. Thanks, Rick. Lisa Ann from Wisconsin, by the way.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Colleen M., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Colleen.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for the meeting. Thank you, everyone, that's on the line today. I'm Colleen M. from Maryland, and I just wanted to reiterate what everyone else has said, that I don't know what the truth is. I have been abstinent for 5 years, and the longer that I'm abstinent, the more I realize that this disease is not about the food. It is certainly about my twisted thoughts and emotions. And my best thinking got me here, where I have to weigh and measure and commit my food every day to someone else. I have to plan when I'm going to go out to eat. I have to plan when I'm going to travel to make sure that I have everything I need. I want to live life, you know, up on the seat of my pants. You know, I want to have adventure. I want to just, you know, this planning and this being disciplined is not who I am, but it's who I need to be. And especially, I don't know the truth about my higher power and what his plans are for me. And I spent so much of my life, and I still struggle today with trying to create my own plans and designs. And I have so much more peace and serenity when I can just accept the day that God gives me without any expectations. I'm doing my ninth step right now, getting ready to start step 10, and a lot of emotions. I don't do well with humbling myself before people and admitting my wrongs. I beat myself up about my wrongs all the time, but to be able to go to someone and admit my wrongs is quite the challenge, and brings up a lot of fear and a lot of self-degrading, I guess. I trust, even though I don't know the truth, I trust that this stuff works. I've seen it work. I've had it work for me in the past. I want to be freed from the obsessions. I know that this is a lifelong process, that this won't be the first time I have to make amends, but just wanted to put out there where I'm at today and be part of the rest of the group and, you know, work on myself one day at a time with the help of my fellows. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Colleen. And did you include your state? If you did, I'm sorry, I didn't write it down. Okay, well, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter, There is a Solution, page 23, the second paragraph, beginning with, "Once in a while, he may tell the truth in reading through, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who else would like to share today? And please include your state when you introduce yourselves."
Shanna C. from Tennessee.
Ken W.
Okay, got two. Hold on just a sec. Got Shanna, I think it was Shanna C. And then somebody right on top of Shanna right there. Who was that?
Sorry about that. Sandy C.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
Sandy C.
I think it's both of us.
Yeah, Shanna C. as well.
Anna. Okay. So maybe
Shanna
that's
C.
What, how do you spell that? Sorry.
S-H-A-N-N-A.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you.
All righty. Anybody else?
Dindy H.
Ken W. Okay, I heard
Rena
Ken W.
L.
H and somebody R. Rena L. Who was the somebody R?
Nancy R.
Sharon P.
Okay, Sharon, we're going to stop with you. This is who I've got. We have Sandy C., Shanna C., Cindy H., Ken W. H., Nancy R., Reva L., and Shanna C. Go ahead, Sandy, you're up, followed by Shanna C. Sandy, go ahead and unmute. Hit star one. Sandy C., we can't hear you. If you could hit star one to unmute, please.
Okay, sorry about that. I got muted again. Sorry. Thank you so much for your service. I'm in awe of anybody who says yes to leading the first hour. It sounds like no simple thing. So appreciate that. And today I was really struck by the word the game. So when I was compulsively eating, when I had done all my drastic dieting, I would then proceed to weigh myself every morning. And if that pound of candy from the drugstore, if the number didn't change on the scale, and because of that pound of candy, then I won, right? And if the number on the scale did change, but got bigger, then I lost. And, you know, there's a saying in gambling, right? The house always wins. So in my case, the disease always won, right? To the point where I was 150 pounds overweight. To the point where I had lost 120 pounds on an extreme food diet plan and then put almost all of that back on. insanity. And I just want to acknowledge that by God's grace, I'm not in the gambling program, but it's so close. And the only answer to whether you win or lose the game is to just simply not play. And so for me, that's abstinence. And then abstinence means not playing the game. And I'm just so grateful and so present to God's gift to me that I don't have to do that today. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy. And could you give us the state you're from, please?
Massachusetts.
Thank you, Sandy. Shanna C., you're up next, followed by Cindy H. Go ahead, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. Thank you so much for moderating. And sorry for the confusion a little bit when we were all listing our names. Again, I'm Shanna C. from Tennessee, and this paragraph means a lot to me. Once in a while, he may tell the truth. And that speaks volumes to my own heart, because I couldn't see the truth from the false. I hear it time and again in meetings and stuff, but once that stuff really sinks from my head, hearing it through my ears and sinks into my heart, is I'm at my core nature, left to my own devices, a very dishonest person. Like, because I'm unable to see the truth from the false. See, my ego wants to believe that I'm just an out liar, like I have control over what I say and what I do or whatever. That way it gives me permission to blame myself or somebody else for my actions. But the truth is, for me, without the aid of a power greater than me, I am powerless over the fact that I will lie when the truth will serve me more. I will lie to myself without even realizing it. I will, because of the self-will that's in there, and that insidious desire to absolutely be in control of everything. It is just there, and that's why, for me, this is a day at a time thing. I wake up every morning. Yes, a compulsive overeater, that once I ingest any of those alcoholic foods, I can't stop once I start. Well, that's symbolic of how I live my life without a power greater than me. I wake up and I start making decisions based on self that later place me in a position to be hurt, or I'll set the ball rolling because I get afraid of some sort of self-centered something that I'm either afraid of losing or you know, that I'm not going to get. And I'm powerless over those decisions that I make to try to make myself okay without the aid of God. My ego is always trying to tell me I don't need God, and I know everything. And so thankfully, this process of these steps, thank God for the pain of the compulsive overeating. Thank God I got to that point where I saw that I could not stop, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And I begged God for help, because I literally was out of ideas in that moment, had nowhere else to go. And I think that was probably the most truthful admission I'd ever made. And as soon as that had happened and been beaten into that state of reasonableness, you guys were here for me. And these steps were here for me, and God was waiting. And so grateful that that dishonesty and that dark past can become our greatest asset, because with it, we can share honestly on those things. And that's the stuff that people identify with. I don't have to be ashamed of it anymore. And I don't have to live that way anymore. Thank God, a day at a time. So anyway, happy Monday, everybody. So grateful to be on here. So grateful to be absent and be given this privilege to live this way of life. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Shanna. Cindy H., you're up next, followed by Ken W. H. Go ahead, Cindy.
Hi, my name is Mindy H. Thank you so much. I'm from Florida. I am really new to this process. And when we talk about truth and honesty and, you know, not living in the disease, I was on another 12-step group working step 8 and making amends to myself, and realized that, like, this food has taken over my life. And I'm just incredibly overwhelmed at the process of, like, telling on myself and, like, being truthful and saying I'm working on step 1 in OA, and I'm struggling, and I'm willing to, you know, take a moment, say a prayer, take a moment, meditate, and I'm just having a hard time this week. And I'm not sure if, you know, there's so much to do, and I want to be right, which is like just the disease feeding me that I can be right. I'm not, I have to remind myself that I'm not God, and I can tell the truth to another human being. I struggle telling the truth to myself. But I'm just really grateful to be here and to have this in my life, that I get to work on myself one day at a time right now. And I don't have to continue to lie to myself about the food that I put in my body. I'm losing control, or I'm allowing myself to lose control. I heard that this morning and it hit so hard because But I appreciate you. Thank you so much for moderating, and that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Cindy. All right, Ken W.H., you're up next, followed by Nancy R. Go ahead, Ken.
Thanks, Rick. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. Don't have a lot to add. I'm just aware that I've had those moments where there's no legitimate reason why I would even think about taking of the first compulsive bite. It's just there. I used to drink my coffee light and sweet. I finally taught myself over years and years and years to drink it black, but just not recently, not too long ago, I went to get my black coffee, and I stood there, and one of those flavored creamers was right there, and I put it in the coffee and sensed that I wasn't being too smart, as it says. I ended up not drinking it, but I was pretty shaken. I was very shaken by the fact that I did it and I didn't have a thought for or against it. I just plain did it. That strange mental blank spot is there, and it is still there. And I have to be constantly aware that it's there, and that there are going to come those times, I think, when I'm just not thinking. It's that simple. I'm just plain baffled, or I'm just not there. I'm just not paying attention. I'm just off somewhere else and not thinking about what I'm doing. And boy, that's a dangerous place for me to be, and I need to be constantly aware that those strange mental blank spots are going to come around again no matter how long I'm abstinent. So it's just an ongoing process of knowing what I'm walking up to. What's coming next? Am I going to be in front of a challenge? And I need to know that ahead of time so that I have the way out that I've been taught over the years in this program. So thanks for letting me share, brother. Great meeting. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ken. Nancy R., you're up next, followed by Rena or Reva. I can't read my own writing. Hell, go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning. Nancy R. from Illinois. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, what a great way to start a Monday morning. Thank goodness we know the truth. And the truth is I have no idea why I take that first bite. And nobody else has any idea either. And I don't. And the beauty, the miracle of this program is I don't have to know. I mean, I know I have an allergy of the body and a compulsion of the mind. That's all I need to know. But, you know, I've had a lot of relapses over my years in OA, and I would be baffled again. You know, like, what happened? And, you know, what happened was I wasn't surrendered, and I didn't want to be surrendered. You know, I time again, I took my will back because I wasn't working the steps continuously. And I'm so grateful that today I'm working the steps continuously and certainly not perfectly. And I have a lot of chatter in my head that tells me that I don't need to do it, and I'm fine. Oh my God, the lies I tell myself. So thank goodness I have this truth, and this truth is I have an allergy of the body and a compulsion of the mind, and I have a solution, which is my higher power, turning it all over to my higher power and doing God's will, which is for me to be in these steps and giving service and cleaning up my mess and listening and building my personal relationship with my higher power. Thanks. I pass.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. All right. Is it Rena or Reva L? You're up next, followed by Sharon C.
It's Rena with an N. Yeah, it's Rena with an N. Rena L from Ohio. Thank you. It's really good to be here today. What I wanted to share about with the reading of like no idea, you know, why I take the first bite this weekend. I haven't known as part of my recovery, known my weight for over 4 years. And I had an insurance medical exam last week and I made sure they didn't tell me the weight. I was really careful. I can't know this number, and they were great. And then yesterday, when the report popped up in my text message, I knew in the back of my mind that number would be in that report. It wouldn't just be blood test results. But in that strange mental blank spot, right, I didn't make an outreach call. I didn't pause, nothing. I just opened it. And it wasn't that the number was so shocking. The number was the number. I'm grateful to feel some neutrality around that, strangely. But what I realized after making an outreach call about it, and what was so scary, was that I'm finally getting it. That fuck it, excuse my language, self-will of I'm going to do what I want without regard to consequence or anything I know about myself, that strange blank text spot. I even thought in the back of my head, I'm being none too smart, like in the big book, and I still had the fuck it impulse. And it reminds me of the relapse thought of the before the first bite of something on my not mind food list, right? Like, I'm just going to do it. Just like in that quick second, that blank spot, that there's no logic or reason, I don't know why, and that this is why I need to enlarge my spiritual life, for that blank spot. I don't know how I didn't know that before in all my years in program, but I'm finally getting it. So that's what I had to share for today. Thanks.
All right, thank you so much, Rena. Sharon C., you're up next, and then we will have time for a couple more. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, this is Sharon P., Life Positivity. From Delray Beach, Florida, currently in New York. I love this two paragraphs. The paragraph before that I like to read before this one, just one sentence says, if you ask him why he started on that last bender, the chances are he will offer you any one of 100 alibis. And then I have an arrow going down to once in a while he will tell the truth. He may tell the truth. And the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took that first drink than you have. I love those two lines because that's who I was for so many years. You know, I would tell myself the lie. I love the taste of this food. I'm just going to have it. And then, of course, after I would finish it, in about 10 seconds, which I know someone else talks about, I was miserable. I hated myself. Why did I do this again? How many times am I going to do this to myself? Even in the first years, early years of program, I did that on and off over and over again. And it wasn't until I finally was able to surrender that I could honestly say now that I see the truth. And the truth is that I have an allergy to the body and a mental obsession. And I never put it in those words till I started listening to Vision, but I know that's true now. And so by just working this program and living this program, actually, I live the steps. I like to say I live the steps. I don't work the steps. One day at a time, I have, you know, I don't do that anymore. And I'm so grateful. I have a power greater than myself that I choose to call God, and it works for me. And I pray every day that I will make it through the day and that it will be forever. Well, of course, I'm not supposed to say that, but that's what I believe. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you so much, Sharon P. Okay. We are on page 23, the second paragraph, beginning with "once in a while he may tell the truth" and reading through, "but they often suspect they are down for the count." I'll take a couple more names and see where we're at. When you have two more names.
Tammy.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard Tammy and Lisa. I think that's good for now. All right, so I got part of your names, guys. So when you introduce yourselves, just include the first initial of your last name and your state. Go ahead, Tammy. Tammy, go ahead.
This is Tammy. Can you hear me? Tammy
yes,
Kay from Florida.
Okay. Good. Go ahead.
All right. Wow. When I read this paragraph this morning, I was like, this is me. This story is about me. And the reason I'm saying that is because honesty was impossible for me when I was in my addiction and I was not working the steps. And it really took a combination of getting honest, but to really truly get honest, I needed to work the steps. And doing an inventory helped so much with honesty. And each time I've done an inventory, because I've been in the rooms for a very long time, and, you know, levels of recovery, it's like peeling an onion, and you get deeper into it. And I realized that the honesty piece is the piece that was really the deficit. And being honest and being willing to work a program, to really look at myself, because I think for so long I used the food, I used the sugar as a way of me not having to look at myself. I hated myself so much for whatever reason, whether, you know, it was a childhood thing and I was criticized a lot growing up. I'm not sure why, and it's not important why. But the reality is today I could be honest with what I've done wrong, make amends immediately, and also be honest about the fact that I want to eat, but that it's not what I should be doing, and that my higher power will get me through the rough patches when the will, you know, the will to eat seems to be greater than the will to work a program. So with that, I'll pass. I'm really glad I'm here and listening to everybody's wisdom. There's so much wisdom in these rooms. My higher power speaks through all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tammy. Lisa, you're up next.
Hi, this is Lisa D, as in David, from New York. Thank you all for your service. You know, with listening this morning and reading, I wasn't going to share, but then something just struck me. I literally made a career out of finding out the why. In my job, I help people find out the why of their behaviors. And when I read this today, I was like, I probably was trying to figure out the why of my behaviors all along, but it's so much easier to help someone else figure out their why than to look at my why. And through the course of this disease over the years, I've been able to become really good at explaining away things and rationalizing anything. And I actually even made a point of it and saying, hey, if you need to rationalize anything, give me a call. But the reality is that now in recovery, this time, I'm back from relapse, but now in recovery this time, I have no desire to find out the why anymore, because I know it's just what it is right now, and that's that. For today, that the issue is for me to turn everything over to my God, live in the steps, live in this program, and live in the serenity that comes from surrendering. There's so much ease in that, that it outweighs the need for why. I'm tired of asking why for today, and I'm not going to anymore, because I don't tell the truth when I think about the whys. I don't tell the truth when I and my character defects pop up. And it's kept me going like this for, you know, 40 years. So I am willing to today just say, look, for today, this is what I'm doing. surrendering, moving on, moving in the steps, and living abstinent and being recovered. So I am so incredibly grateful for the big book, incredibly grateful for all of you here on this line, and with that, I will pass.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lisa. That's a good way to close this out. Awesome shares today, everyone. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, August 22nd, 2022, is 19,317. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Marjo please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Marjo from Massachusetts, recovered and forever grateful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realized we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation about what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.